Would you turn with me to the book of 1 John? And as you find that, we're going to be reading this morning verses 1 through 6. And while you find that, you may recall that in 1 John, John has given us several tests. You remember these tests. If you've been here, you've been through them with me a number of times. You may recall that he gave us tests to expose false teachers, that he wanted us to make sure that we knew the truth of the gospel. And we're going to come back to that in just a few moments because that's going to be our direction for today. He also gave us three tests to discern if we are truly God's children. Are we really saved? He said there are three tests that you can give to yourself to know, do I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? He gave us a doctrinal test. And that doctrinal test is, what do we believe and what do we think about Jesus Christ? We're going to talk more about that in just a little bit. He gave us a moral test. Do you remember? Are we being obedient to the Word of God? And he gave us a relational test. Do you remember what the relational test was? Do we love one another? Do we love the family of God? Now, in chapters 1 through 3, John addresses the importance of holiness. You remember he said there, he says, Christians still sin. You remember somebody was saying, oh, once you're a Christian, you never sin anymore. I tell you what, that really cut a lot of us out from being Christians. Okay, it cut all of us out from being Christians. Because the scripture says that if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth is not within you. So we understand that as Christians, we still struggle with sin. But he said that we need to struggle to remain holy. So in other words, he says, do not surrender to your sin nature, but surrender to obedience. Amen? Be obedient to the Word of God. In other words, we must strive to be like Jesus Christ. We need to strive towards holiness. And dear friends, holiness really, truly may be one of the greatest needs of God's people today. We live in a day when the church is so much like the world that you can hardly tell the difference. Do you remember me telling you the story about the old pirate who decided that he was going to go to church one day? So he walks into church. He's got Polly on his shoulder, the parrot, you remember? And they sat down, and just as everybody was sitting still and got quiet, the parrot said, looks like a saloon. Looks like a saloon. And the pirate said, shut up, bird. We're in church. Looks like a saloon. We're in church. He goes, same crowd, same crowd. Our godly witness, dear friends, is hampered by the fact that our lives are too much like the world. Amen? When they see us, do they see Christ Jesus? We have a very great need for holiness. And John talked about that a good deal in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Now, as we come to chapter 4, he reiterates another great need in our life, and that is spiritual discernment, that we would know the truth of God and be able to tell God's truth, the ability to distinguish between biblical truth and biblical error. And folks, I believe that that ability has been greatly eroded because of the loss of Bible knowledge. People just don't read their Bibles as much as they should. None of us do. We need to know God's Word. We need to have God's Word in our heart. We need to be able to meditate on it day and night. Because isn't it true that if a Christian does not know God's Word, how in the world are we ever going to know the difference between truth and error? If we don't know truth, you're not going to be able to discern it. So, folks, we need to know God's Word. That's why Grace Point offers so many opportunities for you to be a part of Bible study. That's why we have a week-long study in God's Word with the children. We make it fun. We play games. We have snacks. And I'm going to tell you that all of that is brought about for this one purpose, that we could break the fire code. If you weren't listening during announcements, shame on you. We need to break the devil's fire code. We need children to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. That's why we offer Bible studies on Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, Awana's, sermons, Read your Bible. We do have a Bible reading program we send out to you most every day. So here in John chapter 4, John says three things about discernment. So let's see if you can pick these out as we read in just a moment. First of all, he wants us in verses 1 through 3, he says, to be discerning about who Jesus Christ is. Who is he? Secondly, discernment is a spiritual matter. Verses 4 through 5. And then in verse 6, he gives us the test of a true prophet, teacher, and preacher. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word as we read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And all God's people said, listen, that one will preach today, amen. We could probably do several series on just this one verse. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is God's word. Oh, that our hearts would hear it. And all God's people said, amen. That was our prayer. Would you be seated? He said here in verse 1 to test your teachers. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Folks, we need to remember that there are fallen angels and there are angels that are still of God. And these spirits try to move our hearts. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now listen, some of John's congregation were impressed by some new and wonderful, apparently wonderful, new teachers. But these teachers were teaching some incorrect things about Jesus Christ. It's the same thing today. The same thing's going on. We get new teachers and somebody says, oh, it's a new teaching. Let's hear this new teaching. And John says here, he said, beloved, he said, my family, my loved ones, my little children, my little born again ones, he's saying, do not believe every spirit. Just because they come to you, don't believe everything you hear. It's interesting because in chapter 3, just two or three verses ahead of when he says this, first he says, believe on Jesus Christ. And then he says, just two or three verses later, he says, there are false prophets out there, so don't believe everything you hear about that they say about Jesus Christ. Instead, he says what? To do what? Just take it all in? No, he says, test them. Test them. So often, Christians make a mistake of believing that popularity is credibility. Just because someone's popular doesn't make them right. And just because they're teaching something that may sound good and sound easy certainly doesn't make it true. John is saying that real Bible faith is discerning. Are you with me? Real Bible faith will determine, is this true? Real faith doesn't believe just any old story that it's told. Real faith believes the truth, Jesus Christ, the truth of the Word, and it discerns between truth in the Word an error in the word. For example, you probably heard this. I've shared it with you before. There is a belief today that as long as you are truly, truly sincere in whatever you believe, that God is going to accept that. Does anybody really believe that? I hope and pray you do not, because that is not of God. And yet it is a very worldly thing to be inclusive. And I see it on television programs. Oh, it's not about, you know, whether we think we're right. It's whether we include everyone. Listen, you know what I want to include everyone in on? The truth. I want everyone to know the truth. You know what I want to include every person in? Heaven. You know what I want to include every man, woman, and child in? Breaking the fire code. That's a new one for me. I'm going to use it till it's just in the dirt. Break the fire code, dear people. We need to be sharing with folks about the Word of God. You can't just believe whatever you want, and if you're sincere, God's going to say, oh, I'm glad that you were sincere in your belief. Just come on into heaven. No way. God does not want us to believe just anything. He wants us to believe the truth. Period. When we stand before God, God is not going to ask you, did you believe in anything sincerely? You know what he's going to ask? What did you do with my son? That's what he's going to ask. What did you do with Jesus? Saving faith is not faith in faith. Hello? It's not having faith in faith, but it's having faith in the Son of God. It is trusting the Son of God and in His promise that is true and sure. And that is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John is saying, be discerning with the truth. Does that make sense? Hold to truth. When anyone comes to you, when anyone is teaching you, always measure them by one thing, the truth of God's Word. Measure them by the Word. And if they're not in the Word, dear friend, run, leave. When Paul preached to the Berean church, you go back and read Acts. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 records exactly what they did. When Paul preached to the Berean church, they didn't just accept it. Do you remember what they did? They tested Paul's preaching. They tested his teaching to see if their Bibles said what he said. They went back to the Pentateuch. They went back to that Old Testament. Is this what it was saying? Did this word say this? Did he quote that right? What did he say? And they looked it up, and they made sure that what Paul said lined up with their Bibles, and only then does the word say that they accepted it. Friends, be discerning. John says here that there are many false teachers out there. Test them all. The good ones, the bad ones, test them all to make sure that their teaching is the true Word of God. But what's the test? What is the test? He tells us right there in verse 2. He says that there is a test for every teacher to see if they are authentically in Jesus Christ. Here's verse 2. We read it together. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So what is the test? That Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. What does that mean? That Jesus came in the flesh. It means that Jesus Christ, though fully God, gave up his godhood and his deity in order to become a fully human being so that he could live on this earth and fulfill the word that was required by God that he could be our Redeemer. The Bible tells us that Jesus is God and he came in the flesh to save mankind. John said, any teacher who denies what the Bible teaches about Jesus is showing his true colors. He's showing exactly who he is and that he is not from God. John already told us, if you go back and read in chapter 2, he said that he had some people in his church that were denying the humanity of Christ. They didn't question Christ's deity. They questioned his humanity. Now, if you take your average course, and I don't know how many of you are going to universities right now, but we've got a lot of college students, and college students, you listen to me. And some of you think back to college days. It might not be too long for some of you. For most of us, it's a few more days. But the scripture tells us that we need to be listening to the truth of God. But I'm going to tell you this, that most of your colleges that are pretty much biblically liberal, if they believe it at all, folks, they will tell you that the idea of Jesus Christ's deity began to evolve after centuries of the early church, and that the early church in those early days really didn't believe in the deity, but that it kind of evolved over. That is a lie. As a matter of fact, if you go back and look at church history, you find out that that is not only a little lie, it's a huge lie. Because you see, the church believed in Jesus' deity from the very beginning. Jesus' deity was understood and accepted from the very beginning. And that first challenge to his deity came literally 300 plus years later when somebody outside the church began to say, oh, well, Jesus wasn't really God. Well, I'm going to tell you, the church stood up and the church said, yes, he was. And it was so soundly rebutted and refuted by the early church that it was literally another 1,500 years later before anybody else got up enough nerve to challenge it again. That's the way we ought to be. Challenge the lie. Challenge the untruth and the erring way. Now, a question that some false teachers did have in the early church was Jesus really fully human? And I believe, folks, that the Bible deals with this testimony and it brings out the truth of what was going on in that day. It doesn't worry me that the Bible says, oh, here's something that people question. As a matter of fact, it gives me more confidence in the Word that the Word actually brings it up and that John says, I'm dealing with this lie. I'm dealing with this falsehood. And so he deals with it. But John realized that this testimony of, oh, well, Jesus wasn't fully human, that it undercut the gospel. That it undercut the truth of God's word. Because you see, if Jesus Christ was not a fully human high priest who could sympathize with us in all things except our sin, but he could sympathize with us in all things except our sin, then he could not become the Redeemer who bore our sin. John knew this to be true, so he refuted it. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was fully flesh and blood, fully human. I love the scripture in First John. In John, listen, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to John. Turn to the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John. You're going to love the Gospel of John. And I love this part here, and I want you to see it in your own Bible. Gospel of John, and look at verse chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, and then verse 14, because the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And then in verse 14, look down, it says, and the Word became what? Flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this is the Gospel of John. And what I want you to note is this. The Bible says that Jesus was fully flesh and blood, fully human. Now, the scripture says, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh. Who is the Word? Jesus. Jesus Christ is the Word. God is the Word. Jesus is the Word. He created, the scripture says, all things. Now, wait a minute. What did that word say? It says, how much was created without Jesus? Nothing was created without Jesus. What was created by Jesus? You said it. All things were created by Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus was God. Jesus continues to be God. He created all things, and it says he became flesh at the incarnation in Bethlehem. When Jesus became that little babe in Bethlehem, he was born as a tiny babe. That's the incarnation. Folks, when you deny the incarnation or the deity of Christ, you deny his work on the cross. Because, you see, everything rests on who Jesus is. Amen? Everything rests on who Jesus is. That's why John reacted so vehemently to their lies. The Word of God says that that little baby, born in a manger in Bethlehem, was more than just a baby. Amen? The Bible says that his death upon the cross was just more than an ordinary death. And that when he rose from the dead, he rose fleshly, bodily from the dead. Not just in spirit, but his body defeated death. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, he was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. Anybody want to dance? Everybody wants to, but Baptists hold back. All right. I'm okay with that in church. I'm okay with that in church. But sometimes, folks, when you just get excited in God, you got to move. And that's what God's Word is telling us. Don't just sit still when somebody tells a lie. Move. Tell the truth. Share the truth. The Bible says that Jesus is God's Son. And he came in the flesh to save mankind. And John said, any teacher who denies what the Bible teaches about Jesus is showing his true colors. Now, you understand this. And let's look at verse 2. John says the test is to see if a scripture is authentic, that you test Christ. He says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. That flesh is important, just like the deity is important. You know, one of the scriptures that we use at Christmas time, and it's seldom read any other time, is from Isaiah. Do you remember the Isaiah passage? The scripture says, for unto us a child is, and say it, unto us a, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now go back to that very first line one more time. Unto us a child is born. Is this repetitive that it says, unto us a son is given? No, it's not. We're talking about flesh and spirit here. Notice that it says a child is born, but a son is what? Given. The humanity of the child is conceived in a virgin's womb. But the Son, dear friends, came out of eternity. He is the Ancient of Days. He always has been. Without him, nothing was made. And by him, all things were created. Yes, indeed, he was a precious baby, but he was so much more than that. He was the Prince of Peace who made peace by his blood on the cross and one day shall bring peace to this warring world finally and ultimately because Christ will reign Prince of Peace. You see, now the important thing here is, and I said all that to say this, listen, the important thing here is for us to take careful note of what? This is the mark of whether a man is a true prophet, a true teacher, a true believer. What did he say? He said, hereby you know the Spirit of God. That's what he said. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So, folks, Let's find out what our teachers believe about Jesus. Amen? If you start listening to their teaching, make sure that they are teaching from God's word. If they don't believe that Jesus was fully God, if they don't believe that he was fully man, that he was flesh, there's something wrong with them from the very internal part of their heart, and leave them immediately. You don't have to go very far today to find, listen, Christian teachers that are teaching falsehoods about Jesus Christ. Listen, just because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't mean that they are. Some of you may have gone out there to what we're going to call Christian counselors. Well, I sent some folks to a Christian counselor a number of years ago, and they came back and told me that that counselor, one of the very first things they said is, well, if you can't get along, you just better go ahead and get a divorce and get it over with. What? I said, they said that to you? They said, unequivocally, without doubt, that was one of the first things they told us. I called this counselor, and I said, you know what? Your card says Christian, and the first thing that you told them, oh, I can't talk about that because that. And I said, well, we're going to talk about this because I'm never going to send anybody to you again. And I didn't, and I haven't, and I won't. Because the first thing that they said is, oh, just go ahead and do what you want to and make it easy on yourself. Is that what God's word says? False prophets, liars, the scripture says, they are going to try to tell you what you want to hear. Listen, you want to ask somebody whether marriage is easy? Ask my wife. I didn't need an outline of me that big. But it's true. Is marriage easy? Is doing it right easy? No. But it's right. It's godly. You know, we need to understand that God never said that doing it according to his word would be easy. He said that doing it according to his word would bring blessings. Do it right. Listen to the word of God. You don't have to go very far to find Christian on a lot of titles. So believers need to be very, very prepared to exercise doctrinal discernment. And when we hear people claim to be teaching God's truth, we need to measure that teaching according to the truth, God's word. Measure it against God's word. It is your duty. It is your responsibility as a believer to discern truth from error. It's your job. It's my job to help train you, but it is your job as to what you put in your heart. What you consume is your responsibility. Scripture says here, if anyone teaches against what the Bible says about Jesus, we know they're not from God. Look at verse 3. Verse 3, he said, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. John says that several times in this book. He's the only one who uses this phraseology, the Antichrist, the one who is against Christ or the one who teaches against Christ. He says, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Satan is out there. You better be careful as to what you are consuming. Be careful. It's your duty as a Christian to discern between truth and error. One more thing, or a couple more things. True discernment is not from your own ability. That's the third thing. True discernment is not from your own ability. Discernment is not just a matter of being smart. Amen? Now you may think, I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm a pretty smart person. Let me tell you that your discernment is not about whether you're smart or not, because it's not just about knowing the Bible or a lot about the Bible, and it's not even about having some common sense, which is certainly lacking today. It's not just about knowing a lot. True discernment is a spiritual matter. Look with me at the scripture there, verse 4 and 5. You are of God, little children. You're of who? God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's them? The false prophets, the Antichrist that he just spoke about. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen? They are of the world. Who? These Antichrists, those who are not discerning the truth, those who are not preaching a true gospel. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. And who hears them? The world hears them because that's what the world wants to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear what God says. They don't want to hear what God's people say. They want to know what they want to know, how they want to know it, when they want to know it, where they want to know it. And if you try to tell me the truth, just get out of my face. That's what the world does. But a believer will receive the truth. And a believer will receive correction. And a believer will know that God is speaking to them from the truth. And they will hold to the truth and nothing but the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this. But the natural worldly man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. How are they discerned? Spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual, he who has the mind of Christ, judges all things. The scripture says that as a believer, he who is in you, that's God, that is God's Holy Spirit, is greater than he who is in the world, that's Satan. The Holy Spirit within you will make the difference. Now, can a non-believer read the Word of God? Is Satan a believer? Is Satan a believer? He believes in God. Is Satan saved? Nope. He is not a believer in the manner that he trusts Jesus for his salvation. But he is a believer in the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, nobody knows the Word of God better than the devil. Because he will say it and he will twist it and he will make it try to mean things that you know is not supposed to be there. As a believer, he who is greater is in you. So can the seed of God be put into an unbeliever? Yes, it can be planted. The scripture talks about that when it talks about the different soils. Remember that the seed is planted and it lands on, some lands on good ground and some lands on hard ground and some of it's plucked up by Satan and his birds, so to speak. Here's the deal. He who is in you, God's Holy Spirit will take that seed that gets planted from God, that's God's word, and it will germinate the seed that is in you. It will germinate the seed of knowledge that you do have so that it will not lie dormant, so that it will not be plucked up by Satan and taken off. But because of the Spirit's discernment, it will blossom in your heart as humility and as faith. And as wisdom. How does that happen? The Holy Spirit does that in you, not you. That's why you don't discover anything in the Bible. It's revealed to you by God Himself. When truth comes to you, it's revealed by God. We have heard so many worldly intellectuals out there, and they try to refute God's word, and they talk against God's word, and that's because they lean on their own understanding. They lean on the world's understanding, not God's understanding. They get so caught up trying to disprove God's creation that they miss the elemental truth of God's universe. And they don't want to hear it. Because when you're wrong, who wants to know the truth, right? If you're stuck on being wrong, you don't want to hear the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, that no flesh should glory. God uses the humble. God uses what the world would call foolish because they believe the truth. When people try of this world, when people of this world try to argue spiritual things with you, God's word says that they cannot, and God says they do not know the truth. And so they can argue from their point of view all day long. But when they try to do this with you, what do you do? You say, well, I'm not educated, Pastor. I don't have a seminary degree like you. I don't have a master's. I don't have a bachelor's. Pastor, I may not even gone to college at all. You know how many of the disciples went to college? Oh, man. Listen. You may not be educated. You may not even be theologically trained. But your simple statement should be this. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But I know God. I know God personally. I have a personal love relationship with His Son Jesus. And I know what the Bible tells me. And I know in my heart that it's the truth. And they may argue with you and call you foolish. And they may call you all kinds of names. But I tell you what they can't do. They cannot take your truth. Jesus Christ is the truth, and you've got to hold to the truth, dear friends. And if you don't hold to the truth, you're going to fall with the world. You may not be educated, but folks, what you can do is know your Bible. And that leads us to our last point. Look at verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now it says, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. Who is the us? It's the apostles. It's the apostles, the apostles' teaching. Believers, he's saying, listen to the apostles' teaching. What was the apostles' teaching? The word of God. Believers, listen to the Bible. And those who reject the teaching of God's word are not believers. You have somebody who says, well, we're going to do a little Bible study today, and we're going to look at this passage, and this part is really not something that's important, and this part is something that really we don't know if it's true or not, but let's look at this next deal, and let's kind of, listen, if they get there, I've got one more word for you. Or maybe it's three words. Run, Forrest, run. They are not there for your good. They are not there for your enlightenment. They are there to try and get you to believe erring. They're trying to get you there to believe something that is not true. The us is the apostles, and those who reject the teaching of God's word are not believers. Why would you listen to them? Faithful teachers, faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ will teach only in accordance to the Word of God. And those who know God will test it to make sure it's of the Word, and then they will accept their teaching. And those who are of the world will reject it. There are a lot of Bible teachers today, friends. Listen, there are a lot of Bible teachers, very popular ones, that have gained in popularity, and then as they got this popularity, they began to throw in falsehoods. And they regularly call into question the authority of God's word and the truthfulness of God's word. One more time. Get out from under their teaching. Scripture says they are not of God. Now, that's not from me. That's from God's word that says that. There are many people who claim to be agents of God, but John says here, if you deny the teaching of the apostles, you should know that they do not belong to God. We need to be discerning about what we listen to, amen? We need to be discerning about what we let our children listen to. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the person offered to us in the gospel? Do you believe that? Do you know the Bible well enough to know when it's being tainted? Do you submit yourself to that true and living Word of God as fully true, as authoritative, as authoritative for your heart and life? Those are the tests that John gives for true teachers and true believers. May God help us to be discerning. And all God's people said, Father, we need your help because we can't do it on our own. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us to discern the truth. Father, would you help us this morning to commit to test all those who teach us? Would you pray that prayer, dear friend, right now? God, help me to test all who teach me. And God, we pray that we would listen to none that do not teach from your word and call your word erring. That is so important, dear friend. But listen, even more important than that is this. As you pray, would you hear this? If you don't know Jesus today, that is your need above all else. You cannot discern truth without the Holy Spirit of God in you. And if you've never met Jesus as your Lord and Savior, oh, that today would be that day. Father, this is our prayer, that we would hold to your truth, that we would learn your word, that we'd depend on your Holy Spirit, and that we would test the teachers, that we would know that we were getting the truth.